Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Hello, everyone. I'm January Jones, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast today. Now, for my listeners, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be in a tsunami? Tell me, do you wish you could meet someone who has been through a tsunami and survived and lived to tell us about it? Can you imagine what it would be like to write a book called The Borrowed Daughter? Now, are you ready to hear an amazing story that will change your life? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I'd like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So now it's time to rest and relax. Go get yourself some cheese and crackers, maybe a glass of wine, as you enter the no wine zone with me. Now let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Pandemic, wildfire, tornado, earthquake, hurricane, tsunami. When it comes to inspiring fear, Mother Nature sure can dish it out. No one knows that better than our guest today, who nearly died in a tsunami that came out of nowhere and claimed the lives of her mother and her young daughter. In the 16 years since then, she has learned a lot about facing sudden, unexpected events and the fear they endanger. She can share lessons we need to learn as we face the continued disruption of our lives from COVID-19. She can inspire audience members to see the future and create the life they need to get there. She is the author of Borrowed Daughter. It is my pleasure to welcome to our podcast today, Sana Brauner from Germany. Hi, Sana. How are you today?
Hey, thanks. Hello, January. Yes, I'm connecting with you from Vienna, which is really very exciting to do this and to meet, you know, people around the world and to share my story, you know, and to, because it is something that is really special because the word tsunami was not, I was not familiar before with this word, you know?
Yes, yes. Well, before we get into the story of your survival of the tsunami, could you tell us a little bit about where your story, your success story began, where you were born, a little bit about your early life and how you got started?
Yeah. I was born in Serbia, so this is a former Yugoslavia, and my parents moved to Vienna when I was 2.5. So I grew up in Vienna, what is also my home city, my home country. And but I feel Serbian. It's a kind of, it's a more like a fiery country, you know, and the temper of the people is like more. So, I grew up in Austria, went here to school. I have a sister. She's 1 year older, 15 months, yeah. And when I was 20, I started to work as I started to work at a magazine, you know. But I was really very career-orientated, very focused on so. And by 28, I became chief editor of a very big magazine. It was 1,300,000 samples we had. And I had a lot of responsibility, and I like to take responsibility. You know, this is something. But then my mother was, you know, always like pushing, like, hey, you know, Sana, well, what's going to happen? You know, it's like, where are the kids? And my sister had already three wonderful boys, and here I am. And then I was like this, on the, you know, around 30, you kind of, I myself, you know, just started asking, you know, where I'm going, what else do I want to accomplish? And somehow, and then I felt like, well, it is time for family. And I became mother of a son, you know, and 2.5 years later of a wonderful daughter. But I was still working. I would say I was functioning, you know, because I wanted to make everything perfect. You know, I wanted just to be a perfect mother, a perfect businesswoman, a perfect wife, you know, all, you know, this kind of. And I was like on 100 and more, you know, running, you know, percent and so.
Let me ask you, when you came to Vienna, did your mother and the rest of the family, did they stay in Serbia or did they come to Vienna with you too?
No, the family, you know, because I was 2.5 years old at that time.
Okay.
I was old.
Came with the family. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, what led up to your trip? That it was at Christmas time. Was it a Christmas holiday that the whole family took, or what were the circumstances that led you on this journey?
Yeah, it's Christmas is always a New Year, a time where we try to make breaks from our company, and because it was the time when we would, you know, take 3 weeks at least, you know, and it was possible somehow. And we would always go somewhere in the sun, you know, because it's really winter in Vienna than here. It's cold, it's, you know, summer. And so we tried to go in, and it was mostly somewhere in Asia. And my husband, that time, he loved actually Thailand. It wasn't for the first time. We had north of Bangkok in Chiang Mai, we had a house in a place that was called Tao Garden. So we have been familiar with Thailand. It was like a wonderful kind of second home country we enjoyed every year.
Yeah.
And with the children, we wanted, you know, to go on the beach where it's just easy to relax.
Yeah. You know, many times, well, not many times, but we have vacationed in Southeast Asia, and I know exactly what you mean about the wonderful beaches. And all the times that we were there, we would meet many people who would be coming from Germany and Austria and that part of the world, because as you said, your winters are extremely cold and everyone wanted to get away and get into the sun. Now, where was the resort that you went? Did you go to a resort, or how did the vacation unfold?
Yes. We choose actually Karl Lux because a friend, a family friend of us, he likes to go in the national park and to drive around and to meet. So Karl Lux was a kind of a new place in Thailand. It was not that, it was new in a way of developing, you know, this area. So, and it was really wonderful beaches, and the place we stayed was a beautiful hotel, but was had a lot of, it was like channels. The pool was made out of channels, like, you know, and you had bridges and somehow, and it was that time the largest swimming pool in Asia. It was kind of a nice, and it's just, yeah, it's just perfect with the children, you know, to have fun and to, you know, enjoy and just, you know, be together, join time together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. We were in Thailand and it was just an incredible experience. The Thai people were so welcoming and so lovely. Actually, we were there, I think, a year or two before you were there when you had this tsunami hit you, because I remember when that hit and everyone in the world, of course, was talking about it. And we had looked at the map and we realized that we had been quite near where it actually happened for you, which was chilling for us. But imagine what it was like for you. How long were you there before the actual tsunami arrived?
You know, we came almost a week before we arrived, because the tsunami was on the 22nd, and we arrived already a week. And so the people are very nice with children down over there. You know, they like children. And so our, you know, special our daughter was like, she was very open and they would, you know, come. So we have been already connecting with the staff and just enjoyed, you know, the whole time there, really.
Wonderful. You know, before we go on with your amazing story, we're going to take a little break and hear about my book, Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment. And it's for anyone who knows someone who whines.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone with my guest, Shauna Browner. She is definitely not a whiner. Now, Shauna, before we begin, could you share a little bit of your contact information with our listeners and tell them about your book and where they can get it?
Yeah, the title of the book is The Borrowed Daughter, and you can get it actually online on Amazon, but you can get it in every library, you know, bookstore. I'm the author, Shauna Browner, it's me. I have also a website where you can kind of, get to be a little familiar with my thoughts, with my thinking, you know, about life, about being a human, about life crisis.
Wonderful. And that information is below on the screen, so anyone who is interested, copy that down and go and get the book. Do you have a website now, Shauna?
I do, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And can you share that with us?
I have www.shaunabrowner.com.
Okay. And spell your last name for our listeners.
B-R-A-U-N-E-R.
Wonderful. Thank you. So now let's talk about, you went on your holiday, the Christmas holiday, and you went to Thailand. And who all was in your party? Who traveled with you?
You know, we have been first, like the really close one, like was seven of us. It's my the family, Helmut, my husband, you know, then our children, Alexander, that's the son, he was almost 6 at the time, and Alexander Nita, 2.5. And then my sister with her son, who was 9, and my mom.
Okay, okay. So how did the day that the tsunami hit, how did that day start for you?
You know, it started like in the morning when you would like, you know, it's coming, it's like a sunny day again, you know, and we go for breakfast and we just chat there and enjoy, and then we just decide who is going to do what, you know. So, and my sister said, okay, you know, I will be with mom here and at the beach, and Alexandra Anita, my little one, and then I decided I have to take something from the room, you know, and Helmut, you know, was already gone at the room to get, you know, some more stuff to play with the kids and so. And the two boys have been playing in front of the room on an island, you know, who had a slide. So it was a very alive, you know, hotel somehow in the city. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it was around, I like 10:30, you know, when actually, the lights just changed. No,
because, did you have a warning that it was coming? How did it arrive?
No. There was just nothing of a warning, you know, just nothing. And, you know, people would say, yeah, you would have maybe, you know, animals go back or something. There was, you know, you are in a touristy area, at the beach, at the hotel in front of you. And I was not aware of what you could see later on many videos and pictures, that the sea would go back a lot, you know, because I went inside the hotel to the room to get, you know, stuff. So I, when it happened, I went on the balcony, on the terrace of the room, to tell Helmut, who was outside, you know, the boys, hey, let's get our stuff, and then suddenly, I mean, out of nowhere, water. I mean, it's just, you, there is no more thinking. It just appears in front of you, and there is this little bit of second, what is this? And then you are storming the room, and, you know, it just breaks all the walls. You know, I was underwater when I was already out of the room, you know, I came up out of the water, and it took me a long time to stay there. I was like in a washing machine, crying, all what you can do, just, you know, because you stop thinking, you adjust at the moment and try, you know, to somehow, and you, but you see, like, you are just turning. There is no way, whatever you do, there is no up, there is no down, there is no left, the rest. And there was a point when I just could not anymore, and I was like, well, that's the moment when you leave from this earth, you know? And the thing is, like, everything around me became so quiet and so peaceful. And I was in another room, you know. And then I hear a voice, and it's Sana's voice asking Sana, Sana, do you want to leave?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. At that point, Did you think you had died?
Well, it was a very short, you know, near-death experience, because I could see that I got information downloaded somehow, because when I said, and it came out of me, and it was like me observing everything, and I said, yes. And then I just suddenly, you know, pressed again the button, and I was around again in this noise and the alarm, and being in the washing machine and this and this and this. And, you know, when I finally came up and took my first breath,
mm-hmm.
I looked around And I'm like, this is the end of the world, something, you know, this is, it can't be, because for me, it's like, I mean, water, the hotel was almost underwater.
Uh-huh.
I looked in front, you know, and I had been half a mile away from the hotel. I had been towards the forest, holding on the mirror of a van, of a car who was driving, because I just like, I needed some kind of, and I was like, and it was, I heard my lungs were been hurting, and I had lots of water inside and dust and everything, you know. But, you know, that time you just, you know, kind of done, and find then the wind disappears, I have to let go again, everything, and I'm heading towards the forest with all these trees, and I'm like, oh my God, what's that? And finally, and suddenly the water comes back and brings me, the whole wave comes back and brings me again towards the other side. And so I'm like looking around, what can I do? What can I? And the funny thing is, it was so silent. And I was like, you know, the whole world died. What happened? It was just this water moving and nothing else, you know. And then I saw a tree and I kind of like, okay, I'm not, you know, I'm you know, a tree, and it was everything around, you know, the tree. It was like refrigerators, beds, whatever, you know, you would have in this, you know. And I just hold on one of these, you know, things and climb one after the other of, you know, whatever I could grab, you know, to come to more up and towards the tree that I come, you know. And then I could, like, stand, you crawl, you stand, you know, do. And then you, for a while, you just watch, watch what's going next, where, what to do next, you know. And then, you know, it's... I will have to make it short because it was really a very, a time where it was so present. You're not in the future, you're not in the past, you're right now, right here. Every breath counts, every moment, every, it's like, and so I'm heading towards, you know, kind of like, okay, try, you know, to go a little bit more because the water calmed down and I could swim, you know, towards the reception to find anybody else, you know, somehow. And then
at that point, were you, did you have any awareness of where your family members, where they might have been? Could you see or hear them call or?
No.
You were just completely alone.
Totally alone. But, you know, after kind of going to the last floor of this hotel, what would stand, you know. I mean, I came out. There have been really special, very touching situations, you know, during the whole, lots of time because we stayed there for a while. I came out of the water making steps to go, you know, where I could see some people holding on the roof or, and sitting there, you know, trying, you know, to escape from this. And I came up the stairs and I'm totally naked. And there is a Thai guy who already tried somehow, you know, to help or whatever. And he puts off, you know, he takes off his wet shirt and hands it to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go there and everything was slippery, mud, glass, everything. You would not, you know where to, you know, step. You had to really watch, you know, somehow. And then, you know, far away I see my sister, you know, on this level.
Okay.
And then I shout, you know, and then and she looks at me and then she turns to another way and then she shouts, Sana is here, you know. So I was knowing she found somebody, you know, and then we meet and then she says, yeah, Helmut
okay.
and the boys are there. No?
Coffee table.
And so, well, at the end of the day, my mom and the little one have not been with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When I was on the tree, holding on,
mm-hmm.
I could hear a voice, you know, saying, like, your mom just took this as a possibility to go, to choose.
Oh.
And the little one is going to be taken care of.
Uh-huh. And this voice just came to you.
Yeah. And this is something, you know, what is the main topic about in the book, about the whole message I would like to give, is we easily forget that we are not really this body, that we are energy. And there is a part of us we should include in our life, and this is the spiritual part. We tend to forget that this is the one we can hold on and count on when you have nothing to hold on in the material world.
Wow. You know, we're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to hear about the aftermath of once you had realized you had survived the tsunami and how you got together back with some of your family, not all of your family. So now we're going to hear about who killed Kennedy. Who do you think had the money, the motive, and the means?
Let me ask you a question. Are you still wondering who killed Kennedy? Over 50 years later, the assassination is still a mystery. It is unfinished business for our country. Now, get ready for a theory that you've never heard before, but will make more sense than any other conspiracy theory that you've ever heard in the past. January Jones speaks the unspeakable in her book, Jackie, Ari, and Jack. The Tragic Love Triangle, connecting Jackie and Aristotle Onassis romantically prior to JFK's assassination. Did you know that Ari was Jackie's guest in the White House during the JFK funeral? He was the only non-family member who was invited by Jackie to stay there during the funeral. Aristotle Onassis was one of the wealthiest men in the world, with the means, the motive, and the money to order an assassination that was the perfect crime of the last century. Ari needed class, and Jackie needed cash. They were perfect for each other. Now, what is Camelot? It is but another tragic love triangle. Jackie, Ari, and Jack is available at JanuaryJones.com, Amazon.com, and Audiobooks.com, read by Ms. Jones.
Welcome back. We're back with you sharing Sana Brauner's survival story. Sana, so the tsunami has hit. You now realize that your sister is alive, and you get a message about your mother. What happened next?
As a mother, you have this feeling that the little one is still alive, you know, somehow. And so we have been there still a week, you know, we didn't, because we got lots of messages also in, like, we have been researching, we made a post about her, we put it everywhere and somehow, but we didn't want, you know, to fly straight away back because it didn't make sense for us, you know. And because at that time you want to do everything, you know, everything in your, what is possible, you know, so that you don't regret, you know, any possibility to, like, you know, because, you know, there have been, I mean, just imagine, you know, driving the situation there, you know, very, very hot, very, very hot. Everything is chaos, you know. People want to go home, how to come home. You have, you know, collecting, you know, everywhere dead bodies, you know, they started to make pictures of, you know, the face of dead people, of the bodies, you know, and sometimes, you know, you don't want to look at it, and then it feels like, I have to face this, and I have to watch, and I have to, you know, do and make everything, because, you know,
how long was it before you found your husband?
Oh, we found that night, you know, we found in the afternoon already, you know, some hours later, you know, we came together and we spent the night in the mountains. So it's Helmut, my husband, you know, and my sister's son and myself, you know, And my sister has been taken to a hospital, which people, you know, took care, you know, somehow, because I kind of organized